Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Anthony Brooks. And that, listeners, is the sound of progress. The kind of progress that allowed hundreds of thousands of 19th century Bostonians to stop drinking from soiled cisterns and lakes, to stop getting cholera and typhoid, and to instead get on with the business of building Boston into its golden age, starting with the pumps that brought in clean water from the Chestnut Hill Reservoir.
You're hearing a 19th century steam-powered pumping engine, like the kind housed in the ornate Metropolitan Waterworks buildings along the southeast edge of the reservoir on Beacon Street. Several of the buildings have just been converted into condos, and as part of that restoration, the building containing the main pumping engines has been converted into a museum, which just opened to the public.
And inside, you can see the enormous, elaborate pumps that brought water into Boston up until the mid-70s. As museum director Beryl Rosenthal showed me, both the pumps and the building are remnants of a time when a greater civic pride was expressed in our urban infrastructure, and when something as simple as a water pump was made beautiful.
This building was one of a series of buildings. As you were coming up from Cleveland Circle, you saw there were a number of buildings. There's
sure.
A big white Beaux-Art building. That was the low surface pumping station. And then this was the high pumping station.
It's impressive.
It's very impressive. The comment that we get when people come in, they do exactly what you did. They walk in, they look up, their eyes get about as big as dinner plates, and they go, oh my God.
Well, it's funny. I mean, this is an entirely mundane facility, right?
Yes.
You know, it's just about pumping water, and yet it's housed in this series of magnificent buildings.
Yes.
And then we just get to the basic industrial design of the pumping equipment, and it's all very, very beautiful.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, after the 1872 fire, Boston begins to enter into its golden age. And remember, this is also the Industrial Revolution. And you've got a lot of people who are living cheek by jowl, coming in to work in the factories. You've got a lot of money coming into the city because the owners of the mills, for example, in the Merrimack Valley and surrounding areas, the Boston Associates, they live in Boston. So the money is coming into town. So as the money comes in, they want to give it back to the city, so they begin to build these magnificent buildings. This is the beginning of the architectural golden age of Boston. This is it, the Athens of America.
It's when the Back Bay was built.
Exactly. That's all when this begins to happen. So what you have are people hiring famous architects. This is when you have the BPL. This is when you have Trinity Church. You have buildings like this that are going up that house, as you said, very mundane functions in some cases. So things begin to look like European castles. They begin to look like churches. If you're outside this building and you're looking at it from the western edge of the reservoir, it really does look like a church.
Beryl, describe the pumping engines for the listeners. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, we actually have three in here. One of them is the Levitt, which is the one that you see when you first enter the museum. It is a one-of-a-kind, and as you can see, it's really a stunning machine because it's covered in brass railing. It's covered in wood. There's mahogany around it. There is mahogany-stained pine. There's a series of pistons and pumps and staircases that go up. We find that most people are fascinated by this machine just because of its sheer beauty. It really does look very sculptural.
And yet the scale is also just so massive of all of these components. You know, this gear wheel that's in front of us right here is... Mm-hmm.
This is a huge flywheel.
Maybe 12 feet, yeah?
This is a very large flywheel. It's probably closer to 15 feet. But the capacity was 20 million gallons a day. Yeah. So this thing is really pumping. Now, these are very quiet engines.
What did it sound like?
Not much louder than what you hear now. It's very quiet because you've just got the pumps going in and out and in and out. That's all you hear.
Wow.
And you hear water. One of the last engineers to work on this site is a gentleman by the name of Al Arena. And he came to our ribbon cutting. In fact, he did the ribbon cutting to represent all the engineers who worked here over the years. And he always said that it was a very quiet place. And that most of the time you were basically walking around listening. And if you heard something, then you knew something was wrong. Generally speaking, it was very quiet. You would have had a team of about 6 men in here, most of them listening, making sure that the engines are running smoothly, polishing the brass. That was a very big part of it. Now, something that I do want to share with you, if you're interested in seeing the wrenches that it took to keep these in order.
Sure.
I would love to take you down into the basement. These are some of the wrenches. As you can see, they're very large.
Looks like they're cast iron.
Yep.
You know, 4 or 5 feet tall.
Heavy.
Can I try to pick one up?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're kidding me.
Got health insurance?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive enough to think that a man could pick one of these up, let alone stick it on one of the machines and turn it.
For me, it's about that combination of the massive nature of these things and yet some of the small details, almost sculptural, artistic little pieces. For example, on the staircases.
Right behind us, yeah.
The components that mount the treads to the rises are just really...
Well, they're decorative.
They're decorative, exactly.
And I just... The mindset that would have gone into investing in decorative components on a piece of machinery like this, I feel, is so unlike what we have today. Why bother making this beautiful?
Well, that was the sensibility of the time. They don't make them like that anymore.
And they certainly
when
don't.
These systems stopped working and the modern systems came into being, they looked very much like refrigerators and not terribly sexy at all.
Yeah.
But these are just...
These are sexy.
These are very sexy. These are very sexy.
Beryl Rosenthal is executive director of the brand new Metropolitan Waterworks Museum on the edge of the Chestnut Hill Reservoir. You can get details and see some beautiful photos of these very sexy industrial relics at our website, courtesy of photographer Daniel Jackson. That's at radioboston.org.
And just one last thing to mention before we go today. Tonight is the night that Boston foodies have been eagerly awaiting for months. Rogue food writer and TV gastro tourist Anthony Bourdain finally brings his Travel Channel show No Reservations to Boston.
And if you're expecting Bourdain to give fine Boston establishments like Number 9 Park and Craigie on Main their long overdue time on the national TV spotlight, adjust your expectations. The episode mainly focuses on the working class food and drink of South Boston, though Bourdain admits that even that might not be so working class anymore.
Like so many similar places, it's, depending on how you look at things, either benefited greatly or suffered from gentrification. But I'm obsessed with the Southie of my dreams. Of the Eddie Coyle days, filled with mobsters, bank robbers, and a very particular breed of Bostonian.
Bostonians like Howie Carr, who in the show doesn't mention to Bourdain that he actually lives in Wellesley, but does deliver a compelling history of Whitey Bulger and the Winter Hill Gang as the two men munch on a sandwich named after Howie at Michael's Deli.
Which, of course, also not in Southie.
Brookline, Southie, same diff?
Oh, maybe if you're not from here. Well, Boston's a complicated place, and you can't expect the guy to get everything right on his first visit.
That's right. Well, for what it's worth, Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations Boston premieres tonight at 9 o'clock. Thanks to the Travel Channel for that advance clip.
Well, that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com.
Our show is produced by Jessica Alpert, Dan Mazzi, and Jason Breslow. Our interns are Anna Pinkert and Amory Sievertson.
Jeremy Bernfeld is our web producer. Tim Skoog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. Join us tomorrow for more Radio Boston.